Today, superannuation, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. What's my latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour? So who has the best superannuation or pension systems in the world? And how do you even make comparisons across different countries? Well, according to a report just out, the Netherlands and Denmark have the best pension systems in the world. Australia is third, and New Zealand was in the top 10. So today we look at some of the analysis. The Melbourne Mercer Global Pensions Index puts the Netherlands and Denmark at the top, both earning an A grade for the level of financial security provided in retirement. Australia came in third with a B+ grade, while the top 10 was rounded out with Finland, Sweden, Norway, Singapore, New Zealand, Canada and Chile all on B. The MMGPI is supported by the Victorian Government of Australia and is a collaborative research project between the Monash Centre for Financial Studies, the MCFS, and professional services firm Mercer. The index compares 37 retirement systems across the globe and covers almost two-thirds of the world's population. It uses 40 metrics to assess whether a system leads to improved financial outcomes for retirees, whether it's sustainable, and whether it has the trust and confidence of the community. And it highlights the broad spectrum and diversity of the world's pension systems, demonstrating even the world's best systems have shortcomings. The 2019 index included three new systems: the Philippines, Thailand, and Turkey. And they said that while each pension system has a unique set of circumstances, the report makes clear that there are common improvements which can be made to the challenges all regions are facing. Systems around the world are facing unprecedented life expectancy and rising pressure on public resources to support the health and welfare of older citizens, said David Knox, the report's author and senior partner at Mercer. It's imperative that policymakers reflect on the strengths and weaknesses of their systems to ensure stronger long-term outcomes for the retirees of the future. In Australia, he said, we need better integration between the age pension and superannuation, which doesn't currently provide enough incentives for individuals to contribute. In particular, the overall system needs to provide clear additional benefits from making extra contributions. There are recommendations that have been put forward for some time now, such as raising the pension age as life expectancy increases and making adjustments to the asset tests to improve retirement incomes for average earners. We're on the cusp of strengthening our retirement system to receive the coveted A grade. Hopefully, the review of retirement income will go a long way to improving the Australian system, he said. And the index uses the weighted average of sub-indices of adequacy, sustainability, and integrity to measure each retirement system against more than 40 indicators. And the 2019 index takes a new approach to calculating the net replacement rate, that is, the level of retirement income provided to replace the previous level of employment earnings. While most previous index reports have calculated a net replacement rate based on the median income earner, the current report uses a range of income levels based on the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development data to represent a broader group of retirees. The Netherlands again took the top spot in 2019, with most workers benefiting from defined benefit plans based on lifetime average earnings. The UK and the US both earned a C+ grade, coming in 14th and 16th place respectively, both could boost their scores by raising the minimum pension for low-income pensioners, according to the report. Japan came in at number 31 and was ranked with a D, a grade that reveals major weaknesses and/or omissions that need to be addressed. A key recommendation included raising the state pension age as life expectancy continues to increase in the nation. Thailand was in the bottom slot and should introduce a minimum level of mandatory retirement savings and increase support for the poorest, the report said. The study comes as policymakers grapple with more people entering retirement, living longer, and needing a steady flow of income on which to survive. Almost one-fifth of the world's population is forecast to be of retirement age by 2070, up from about 9% this year, United Nations data shows. While retirement systems in many Asian nations improved from last year, the report found they lack transparency and workers aren't saving enough for retirement compared to their global peers. Measuring the likelihood a current system will be able to provide benefits into the future, the Sustainability Subindex continues to highlight the weaknesses of many systems. In particular, the sustainability issues of many South American and Asian systems has been confirmed with an average sustainability grade of D. For example, although Chile achieves a strong 71.7 in this subindex, Brazil and Argentina scored 27.7 and 31.9 respectively. Similarly, in Asia, while Singapore achieves 59.7, Japan scored only 32.2. However, this issue is not restricted to developing economies. Many European economies face similar pressures. Although Denmark achieves the highest score for the sustainability subindex at 82, Italy and Austria scored only 19 and 22.9 respectively. And while some measures that contribute to the sustainability score are difficult to change, others can be influenced to strengthen the long-term effectiveness of a system. Recommendations include encouraging or requiring increased level of savings for the future, gradually raising the state pension age, and enabling or persuading people to work a little longer. Although some systems are still anchored by defined benefit schemes that may practice liability-driven investment strategies, defined contribution plans are playing increasingly important roles in the accumulation of individuals' retirement savings. Maximizing risk-adjusted investment returns for defined contribution plans by diversifying the assets held by a pension fund is critical, said Professor Deep Kapoor, director of the MCFS. It's essential the state pension or retirement age is reconsidered in line with increasing longevity, a step some governments have already taken to reduce the costs of publicly financed pension benefits, he said. And the index also uncovered a strong correlation exists between the levels of pension assets and net household debt, with growths in household debt in developed and growth economies paired with the growth in assets held by pension funds. The report is the first international study of its kind to document the wealth effect, i.e. the tendency for spending to increase with rising wealth in relation to pension assets. The MMGPI's data suggests as pension assets increase, individuals feel wealthier and therefore are likely to borrow more. Dr. Knott said the growth in assets held by pension funds means households feel more financially secure in having future income from their nest egg, thereby allowing them to borrow funds prior to retirement to improve their current and future living standards. As the wealth of an individual grows, whether it be in home ownership, investment portfolios, or their retirement savings, so does their comfort with amassing debt. The evidence suggests, on a global basis, for every extra dollar a person has in pension assets, their net household debt rises by just under 50 cents. Finally, the report summarised observations for each of the countries. Australia's retirement income system comprises a means-tested age pension paid from general government revenue, a mandatory employer contribution paid into private sector arrangements, mainly direct contribution plans, and additional voluntary contributions from employers, employees, or the self-employed paid into private sector plans. The overall index value for the Australian system could be increased by, first, moderating the asset test on the means-tested age pension to increase the net replacement rate for average income earners. Secondly, raising the level of household savings and reducing the level of household debt. Third, introducing a requirement that part of the retirement benefit must be taken as an income stream. Fourth, increasing the labour force participation rate at old ages as life expectancies rise. Fifth, introducing a mechanism to increase the pension age as life expectancy continues to increase. The Australian index value increased significantly from 72.6 in 2018 to 75.3 in 2019, primarily due to the change in the methodology used to calculate the net replacement rate. New Zealand's retirement income system comprises a universal public pension, voluntary private pensions, and the KiwiSaver Direct Contribution Retirement Savings Schemes. KiwiSaver is a voluntary scheme with contributions from the government, employers, and members. New employees who are not already members of KiwiSaver are automatically enrolled by their employer and can remain in KiwiSaver unless they elect to opt out within a limited time of joining. KiwiSaver allows all members, once they've been a member for 12 months, to take a break from saving. The overall index value for the New Zealand system could be increased by, first, increasing the level of KiwiSaver contributions, secondly, raising the level of household savings and reducing the level of household debt, thirdly, increasing the focus on income streams in place of lump sums, fourth, continuing to expand the coverage of KiwiSaver. The New Zealand index value increased from 68.5 in 2018 to 70.1 in 2019, primarily due to the change in the methodology used to calculate the net replacement rate. In summary, pension systems around the world, including social security systems and private sector arrangements, are now under more pressure than ever. Significant aging of the population in many countries is a fact of life, yet this is not the only pressure point on our pension systems. Others include the low growth, low interest economic environment, which reduces the long-term benefit of compound interest, particularly affecting defined contribution arrangements. Secondly, the increasing prevalence of defined contribution schemes and the related increased responsibility on individuals to understand the new arrangements. Third, the lack of easy access to pension plans for some workers in both developed and developing economies, whether it be due to informal labour markets or the growing importance of gig employment. Fourth, government debt in some countries, which affects the ability to pay benefits in pay-as-you-go systems, while high household debt in other countries will affect the long-term adequacy of the benefits provided. And fifth, the need to develop sustainable and robust retirement income products as retirees seek more control and flexibility over their financial affairs. But the greatest risk, in my view, comes from low returns. With central bank interest rates going lower, the capital amount required to provide a reasonable superannuation income in later life is growing exponentially. And in a low income growth economy, we don't think that many, despite saving hard, and some under duress, will have enough. But that critical issue was not, unfortunately, covered off sufficiently in this report, in my view, and so I think they missed the elephant in the room. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.